I hope to be covering three basic parts, and then I have some cards here. I will after a bit, you hold up your hand, you take a card, and you write questions on. I like for you to write the questions. I like questions written because some of the fellows who have some of the best questions have a hard time expressing the question verbally, but they can write the question. And those are the questions that we want to talk about. So in your handout, we're going to talk about making decisions for the long haul, how to last, how to walk in victory all your life. And we're going over three basic sets of principles or points. Principles needed to make long-range decisions. We have to make short-range decisions just by the nature of things. We also need to make long-range decisions if we're going to be successful. So what I hope to get over this afternoon is think another thought. Think another thought. Say that out loud. Ready? Think another thought. Repeat it again. Think another thought. What does that mean? Think another thought. It doesn't mean good, bad, or indifferent, but just think another thought. So we want to start thinking. One reason that, of course, that gambling is so popular is because it's short range. But we want to make decisions for the long haul. Our life basically is laid out in seasons. In the top part of your sheet there, we have spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Now, in the back, as a little article, you might want to pick it up if you want, or you may have a copy, a little article on the seasons that bring this out, and they're on the back, so you can collect one as you go. The spring of life is preparation, training, tutoring, life's boot camp, school, and long, hard hours are a must. The spring of life. The spring of life would be in the early part, when you go to school and when you do your apprentice. By and large, a building is the type of building you build is in basic proportion to its foundation. You can get out here on some plowed wheat field, scrape off a little topsoil. We could do it by hand, really, or with a back blade of a little farm tractor. Pour us a slab with a little wire in it and crack a little bit. Put us up a 2x4 frame house, you know. It'd probably stay there all of our life. But if you started to put two or three stories up there, and when this first story begins to lean a little bit, four stories up, you've got your, you know, you're swaying in the wind. Oversimplified, isn't it? It's so simple, it's almost unfair. Yeah, basic in the spring of life. By and large, your income is basically in proportion to your formal education. Oh, there's always that person who can make it on his own, you know, but not as a rule of thumb. Rule of thumb, college graduate makes more than a high school, and advanced degrees makes more than the eighth grade. That's just the way things are. You don't vote on things like that. And if we put ourselves in that category, we're better off. The spring of life. If we haven't done the things that we wanted to do in the spring of life, oftentimes in the early part of the summer, we have opportunities to make it up. If I remember back on the farm in Alabama, where we was raising corn and peanuts and cotton, from time to time, we wouldn't have the opportunity to prepare the soil like we wanted to, and we would go ahead and plant without it, and you could always tell the difference in the crop. But occasionally, you can get in there and turn that soil over and bust up those clods and plant it a little late and do pretty good. And are you, of course, with hybrid seeds now, why, you got a little better shot at it. He that will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. What's that? 20, verse 4, Proverbs? In the summer, our major interest should be chosen. Further development, much cultivation. In the summer of life. If you haven't obtained your proper formal education as you get on your mid-20s or 30, you can go back to night school. I went to night school till I was 32 years old. I know people going to night school now and going to school in the 30s and then 40s. Old Jack Hesfeld out there is taking a course every semester. He's 50 years old because he didn't have an opportunity in those early days to build his life properly. Autumn, we should secure our holdings. Be real. Life is beginning to close in. Preserve the fruits. My early part of my life, I had a very vigorous exercise program. I still have an exercise program, but at my tender age, I really watch overdoing. I spread it out in 2 days instead of 1 day. And I'm in good health and get quite a bit done. But I don't go the distances I used to go, and I don't put my body under the extreme because it won't come back like it used to. You see, my mother used to tell me, son, use your brains. It's the little things in life that count. So, use your head. Winter, we're not dead. Much enjoyment, and much of our enjoyment is watching others succeed. When in my earlier ministry, I concentrated a lot on long-term relationships. In these latter years, I'm almost looking exclusively for people that I can finish off. That doesn't mean like it sounds. But people that I can put into the ministry rather quickly because of my position in life. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. And you make your decision in that light. Now then, within those phases, there's spring, summer, and autumn, and winter. And there are the words you in a particular project, there's the basic full parts as we go along through life. Number two, we want to base our decisions on four basic points as found in Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom, intellect. Keep studying and training. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Our intellect. Keep working at it. Proverbs, 2 Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I keep studying. On our trip last year, we were gone 2 months, and there's long hours on the plane from here to Asia and around and back. I read 2.5 books while I was on the plane. I started in 1960. I didn't realize I was unlearned until 1960. How about that? I thought I was a pretty sharp boy. And I started reading in those days one book every 2 months in 1960. And I kept that up for a number of years. These last years, I'm doing a book a month. Intellect. I want to stay sharp. So we want to watch our reading program as well as our study program. Wisdom, stature, keep in shape. Keep in shape daily for life, exercise. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, bodily exercise profits as long as we live. We downplay physical exercise, walking, jogging, running, swimming, sports. We downplay that sometimes in relationship to spiritual exercise. For instance, 4:8 says, bodily exercise profits as long as we live, but spiritual exercise profits throughout eternity. Well, obviously, spiritual is more than physical because it's going to last longer. You judge your value by how long it lasts, you see. But it's still profitable. Watch your eating. I noticed that since we've been here, we've been watching it quite well. Well, you might pick up a couple of pounds while you're here. Because if you watch your eating, you can do better at your exercise program. And you can change your eating habits as you go through life. When my second baby was born, I lost 30 pounds. You don't usually lose that much. It coincided when Bonnie was born. My doctor put me on a diet and helped me with my eating. I used to weigh 180 pounds, and I'd waddle down the road rather nicely. And so I lost that weight, and by God's grace and my conscience, her name is Helen, I've been able to keep it off, basically. So it can be done. It helps you in the way you feel. It helps you in the way your clothes fit. It helps you with your self-image. See, when you look in the mirror, you can't do all that much about the hair parting or the wrinkles, but you can the gut line. And we oftentimes dig our graves with our teeth just a little bit at a time. So you might want to get some help on that. Ask your doctor to get some help on that. Your wisdom and your stature. The physical, spiritual. Keep up the disciplines. I, fellas, I really am concerned. I don't want to scold because I don't know all of you, but in my trip last year and visiting the Navigator representatives in Australia and in New Zealand, and I get around the state somewhat. Keep up the old disciplines. High is the memory work. High is the back review. Now, the way I keep up the disciplines is that I have certain fellows that I check out with, and I keep them abreast of what I'm doing. One of them is a 17-year-old high school boy. And so we check out verses. Daniel Lee out at UConn, he comes in and so we check out verses. So I hope I'm helping Daniel. I don't know really. But sure, by meeting with Daniel and checking out verses with Daniel and showing Daniel that, Daniel, I have a reading program. And here is my reading program, Daniel. And here I'm reading these chapters. And so I show young Daniel what I'm doing. To help Daniel, I hope it does. But also it helps me. So the fellows that I meet with, I tell them what I'm doing. I keep them abreast. And I also open myself up for them to ask me how things going, John. Oftentimes they say, boy, John, I really have a rough time. I'm falling down in my reading. How do you find that? Well, I either have to tell him or not tell him, you see. So the spiritual disciplines. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. The quiet time, reading, study, review, accountability. I seriously would encourage you to put someone over you, or maybe one or two fellows over you, And so you can check out. We're losing fellows from time to time. There's some fellows that I wanted to be here. And some of us phoned them and they're busy and they got a lot of business these days. Well, we're sure thrilled for that, aren't we? You know. Well, we think it's a cop-out. There's a problem someplace, you see. Because they've slacked off in the basic disciplines of walking with God. And it's over to you. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Some of the places where I went overseas, fellows that I used to get together with, they've slipped off from getting fellows to study the Bible, memorize the Bible, check out on verses, to counseling. Well, I know sometimes you need counseling. And I'm counseling you now. Get into the Bible. Check your verses with someone. That's counsel, you know. And so be sure that we watch that. Socially, what's your testimony? What's your life? Socially. Providing for honest things, 2 Corinthians 8:21. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. Four categories, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And the four categories of decision is intellect, physical, spiritual, and social. Some suggested questions to ask myself as I make this major decision. What do I hope to accomplish? Does this fit in with my pre-established principles? Does this align with my moral convictions of right, honest? Will this decision pass the golden rule as do unto others as you have them do unto you? All right. Now, questions? We're going to have the fellows stand and you give you cards, and I want you to write some questions. And then we'll go over some more material and more questions. So you hold up your hand if you'd like a card. The seven laws of the harvest. How do I maintain my heart for the Lord when the disciplines have become routine? Early in life, we should learn that much of life is routine. And in fact, without a basic routine, we won't accomplish very much. When I was doing my apprenticeship in bricklaying, it wasn't until I could just lay brick and hold a conversation and make those strokes automatically that I could get any speed at all. If I had to concentrate on each brick. You remember when you first started typing? And boy, you're to A-S-D... What's that next letter? F. Okay. See, and where is the Q? See? And you had to think. Well, you didn't go very far when you were thinking on the type. You had to basically learn that keyboard so that you could type with your eyes closed. And so it is with the routines of life. I feel we must accept the basic routines of life. Now, also, all of life is not feeling good. So many, many, many times, because of pressures, health conditions, finances, all put together, I'm just depressed. I just get down. But I know what to do. I know what to do. I get a good night's rest, have proper exercise, and use every minute I can feeding my heart and my soul from the pure scriptures. And within a day or day or so, I'm back on top again. That's Dr. Crawford's therapy for Dr. Crawford. Really. I've done it low these years, you know. And I can't go on my feelings. Is there any further question on that, or is that clear at all? Or any comments from the... Is it possible that too much long-range planning on our own would not allow for God's work? Well, it's possible, but I don't think that you'll make that mistake in a practical way, simply because there's too much of the media that crowds in on our lives. I think that God can work. Honestly, fellas, I went over my message this morning more than I've gone over a message in a long, long, long time. And so help me. I got down to two-thirds of the first page, and I got 3.5 more pages. I'd like to give you Jesus now. It's good stuff, see? But I didn't preach it this morning because the Lord just kept filling my mind with something else. Now, if that's what you're talking about, opening to the Lord's work, fine. But I did do my homework, honestly. I did work on it. But I didn't give it to you. I really didn't. I gave you something else. Now, if you want to follow the Lord that way, fine. But I sure wouldn't back off on long-range planning. I really wouldn't. I'd do all I could on long-range planning. Questions? Did you know I figure out a way to send my grandkids to university cheaper than I did my children? Questions? Hey, I thought you'd never ask. Did you know you can buy a zero coupon? You can take the cost of university now, and the cost of Wheaton College last year was $13,000. And a zero coupon bond, 18 years from now, will pay If the price of college changes in the next 16, 18 years, like it has in the last 16 years, Wheaton College near Chicago, in the next 16 years, it'll cost $39,000. It costs 13 now. Yeah, last year. It cost 39. $39,000 in a zero coupon bond will pay you $50,000. So you can go to school for four-fifths of what it costs now. David Hines taught me how to do that on a 1450 Walmart calculator, and he gave me the calculator. And the question comes up, well, where are you going to get the $13,000? The same place you get the $39,000 15 years from now. Same thing. And you know what? People are going to college 16, 18 years from now. They really will be. You'll be around, and they'll be going to college. And they'll be getting the $39,000. They really from somewhere. See? So you plan for the long haul. Questions? Church seems to be boring. Is it work to go? What's wrong with me? Well, I don't really know what's wrong with you. Boy, my church is surely not boring. I go to a church where a fella gets up and opens the Bible and starts preaching and gives you Bible verses, and I just hate to miss. And I just go up there and I say, Pastor, I know you've spent hours in your study on your knees, and I just want to tell you, I just appreciate it. I just go up there and tell him, and I don't know. Find you a church that where an old boy preaches the Bible and encourage him. I'm presently teaching 2-7 group. Should I seek someone to be accountable to outside of the minimum group? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Just as long as we keep someone over us. John gives some basic principles one must use for rather rebellious teenagers. Huh. I don't think they need any principles to be rebellious. It says, for a rebellious teenager, principles for a teenager. I don't think so. I tell you. But they are people. Most of us have gone through that. Get some people to pray with you. do the best you can. I don't know. God has to work. Cry a lot. That's all I know. Try to maintain sanity. One thing I would encourage, if you have some principles that you practice as little children on your knee, you pray with them every night, I hope, you young fellows, pray with them every night. And you go over Bible verses every night. I hope you have a time around the supper table when you're home with a devotion. See, don't quit. We never quit. It's still my table. I never quit. I never quit. I just kept doing it. And of course, the rebellious person will have to sit there because you never deviate, you see. And maybe that'll help. I don't know. What is the secret to long-term commitment to the four areas you have talked about? Well, you've got to intelligently know where the basic four areas are. That's the reason I gave them to you. And you've got to get some help. And put someone over you to see that you do it. And now I know a few fellows. I've known a few less than on my that could just maintain their walk regardless. And in my days aboard ship, it was 2.5 years before a fellow came to Christ aboard ship. By God's grace, I maintained my walk with the Lord, my reading, my Bible study, my quiet time, all that time. But as a rule, we need each other. By the way, if I was in the church, I got a lot of material to preach to you on why you should be in a church. I think I'd be a good church preacher, you know, because I think that fellowship and being together and all that the church has for you is just absolutely fantastic. And that's also good. In the autumn, ages 40, 45, be my guest, is it too late to start over? Well, kid, should I work on securing my holdings? I like this one. Oh, I like it. And stay at what I'm doing now. I didn't get to the mission field till I was 50. Admittedly, some people don't qualify, or there's others, you see. No, I would still be launching out, I think, at 40 and 45. Continue to launch out all your life, but just consider where you are. Don't be a fool, is all. Oh, no. No, I would continue to launch. You might even go to the mission field, you know. In fact, we got fellas and girls going to the mission field in their 60s now, short-term missionaries. In fact, helping a person lay out their life, I like to help them in their early days with their trades, their vocation, their family. Help them with their giving, keeping up with their giving, decide what percentage of giving. Live frugally without being foolish, and look forward to the middle and autumn part of the life, giving more time to the Lord's work, either at home in church or overseas. Partly support yourself or get partly supported otherwise, you see. Think that you're going to work all of your life. Work for the Lord all your life, not work playing brick all your life, you see. And think with that in mind. Don't get rid of it, all of it now. And so with a few wise investments and in good health and people living longer, my, look at all that resource that we got 50 and after when the children are gone. Interrupt any time you want to. Hold up your hand, okay? This conference helped me to start new and not just give up on other folks I'm working with. How can I keep focus and stay encouraged? Well, I think I've covered most of that. Get somebody with you. But you must be in the Word in the consistent disciplines. Old people eat food. Young people eat food. Babies eat food. See, you need to eat food all your life. And the Bible is food. Since we're not ignorant of his, Satan's, devices, what are the main trap of Satan? You have seen that trap men and keep them from ending well. Three G's. Girls, gold, and glory. That's basically the three categories I think that men have to watch. Girls, gold, and glory. The lust of the flesh. Watch money. It's the love of money, Timothy said. It wasn't money, by the way. It was the love of money that's the root of all evil. And then pride. Watch pride. Really, really learn to glory, happy, be happy in other people, in young people, ending well. Do you encourage bringing young new believers into your home? If so, why? Yes, I like young believers in my home all the time, around my table. Did you know my dining room, my kitchenette furniture is designed for fellowship? We have some inexpensive plastic armchairs with wheels on them. And around my dining room table, we have a house we got has a former dining room, but we don't use it. And around my dining room, so it's comfortable. And in the early part of our life, when we were having dinner and when I was sharing, I talked this over with Helen. She never says, well, let's retire to the living room where it's more comfortable. We don't ever retire to the living room where it's more comfortable because that breaks the spell. We sit right there while Daddy has them and can follow through to the altar call, see? And if they're comfortable with that comfortable chair and can move around a bit, why, they stay right there. And we design it for that purpose. And she knows where it is, and she or one of the girls, they don't start clearing the table until it's time to clear the table. We can wash dishes next week, if necessary, in order to be sure that we... I know we're thinking all the time how to catch that big one, you see. Really. Old Harold Harper, he taught me how to catch big fish spiritually and literally, you know. He taught me how to go up to a pond and take a plastic worm, a plastic lizard, and throw it on a log and let it sit there and be quiet a little bit. And then he'd move it on the log a little bit. Pretty soon it would slip off the log. Old big bass would get it just like that. You see? Well, that's what we want to do spiritually. See, we want to be constantly working on helping people. So I use my home a lot. Could you briefly cover... go over your Bible reading plan. Yes. I have a little chart in the back, and I start reading in Genesis, and then I read right on through to Revelation. And then I read part of the Old Testament and part of the New Testament, and I have a goal set per year for my reading. Like if you want to read the New Testament through twice, then you should get through the first time roughly around the end of June. About time you lay by cotton. Yeah, write that down. You see? Really, and I just plow through just like that with straight reading. I read more in the New Testament than I do in the Old Testament, time-wise. You might want to have your particular plan. You may want to read through the Bible once a year. You may want to read through the Old Testament every 2 years and the New Testament through twice a year. That might be a good plan. In the outset, I think I would do that. I'd read through the Old Testament through every 2 years, and then the New Testament through twice a year, which would be four times in 2 years, so you can go over the New Testament better. But that's the way I do it. The Bible says if you do not work, you do not eat, excluding widows and orphans. Where does this leave our sorry welfare system? I tell you what, if we could find out who wrote this, we could send this to Mr. Clinton, and maybe he could answer it, see. I really don't know. What are the most important characters in choosing a mate? Please share some helpful hints for marriage. Well, one of the things that you want to keep in mind is that you'd like to be married to this woman all your life, and you hope you live a long time. So that means you're going to be married to the same woman a long time. So that means a lot of preparation can be put into this program. If it's like building a house, if you're going to live there all your life, rest of your life, and you're going to live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, you know, kind of fix it kind of like you'd like. So a woman that knows God and walks with God, and then you might want to find one that loves you. How do you define ministry success? Well, I define ministry success by doing what God would have you to do. And I can't tell you that. From up here, I could probably tell you that if we got together several times, but what God would have you to do. But one thing God wants us to do is to walk with Him, and He wants us to walk in victory with our vocation as well as our outward ministry. Was it St. Francis of Assisi that said, preach the gospel every day? And if necessary, use words. You can have that, and it'll work. How do you balance rest and relaxation with ministry? Well, when God gave us a mind, Doss used to tell us, He gave us a lot of leading when we use our heads. I try to lead a balanced life in regard to proper exercise, proper rest, and proper ministry. It'd be difficult to answer that in specific. Do you know of a good family devotional series or book or study that all ages would enjoy? Who could answer that for me? No one's going to answer that for me? Fine. Back there on... Yes? The Bible? Well, they probably want something else. Won't you see Max Barnett afterwards? He'll help you. My toughest decisions are always in terms of placing priorities on time management. Any practical suggestions on dividing time between wife, family, church, and other jobs? Well, I hope the whole time today has been on this one thing. I hope in the certain seasons of your life you do one thing, and other seasons of your life you do another thing. In the beginning of your life, if you wait till you're 20, 21, 22, if you don't get married too early, see, so you get and don't spend too much time courting. If you spend enough time in that early part of your life, basing your foundation, your education, your vocation, your trade, then you don't have to do your apprenticeship all your life. It doesn't take all that long to do apprenticeship in sales or in anything, you see. And then the more money you make, by and large, the more discretion you have. You can buy things instead of make them if you have money. If you buy things instead of make them, then you have more time. So it's a value judgment all the way through, a value judgment. But you do things in the seasons of the life in the four basic categories of your life. And you watch the pitfalls. You watch stumbling on one thing. You watch going whole hog on one different thing. Any other questions on that? Okay, we'll go to the next one. You have your seven laws in front of you. Would you like to stand up? Why don't you stand up? You're tied to my fingers. Ready? Okay. Boy, you got up fast. A lot of people here are exercising already, man. Okay, you're tied to my fingers now. This is a choir. You know, I wanted to lead choir in the worst way. Now, that's where I lead it. Ready? All right? I'm going to let you down. I'm going to be like the Undertaker. I'm going to be last man. Let you down. Ready? Okay, come on back there. Okay, come on there. Help yourself, man. Gentlemen, if I was restricted, if I were restricted to two messages, one would be the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through Christ. And these points here by Mr. Lawrence is absolutely fantastic. One, we reap only what has been sown. All life comes from antecedent life. For as Louis Pasteur has adequately demonstrated, there is no such thing as spontaneous generation. What we reap then was planted either naturally or purposely, either by God or man, for either positive or negative results. We're benefactors of much of which we have extended no labor, but we enter into labor of others. We are recipients also of sowing, of tares in the field, for what others do affect us, and there is no way for us to elude it. We reap what has been sown. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. In 1840, you could buy a scoop, a schooner in Great Britain for $6,000. You could go to Africa, pick up a load of slaves, come back and drop them in the Indies, sell them, cone up the coast and pick up a load of cotton, go back to Great Britain and sell it, and burn the schooner if you wanted, or give it away or sell it, and you could clear $40,000 in gold. And $40,000 in gold in 1840 would enable you to retire. One trip selling souls would do it. Many people did. Oh, they didn't limit it to one trip. I just read John Newton, the slave trader, the evangelist, and he was engaged in that. What has been the effect? We still are suffering from the problems of slavery. You cannot do a thing like that without it demeaning the country. Many times, over half of the cargo would die. Some of the slave ships had slots only 18 inches, and they would be slid in there, people would be slid in there, and they'd be cramped in that position for days and days, come out with scurvy. They'd take them out once a day to exercise. According to John Newton, the sailors would help themselves to the female slaves. Be not deceived, the Bible says. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We reap what we sow. We reap what others sow. How many babies have been murdered now since we've legalized? So I had to figure the other day. It's up in the millions. Millions. Our nation will suffer for murdering that many people. We reap what we sow. Not all we can do about it, but we can do something about it. In countries where they've had a different attitude toward the natives, the sociologists have made studies, and the attitude toward the natives now different. In New Zealand, they had a different attitude toward the Maori. They didn't treat him like we treated the red man. And therefore, today, they're race problem is entirely different than ours, simply because of cause and effect. We reap only what has been sown. Now, you can get forgiveness. I can get forgiveness of any sin. King David, he got forgiveness for his sins. In fact, the Bible says about King David, he was a man after God's own heart. In Acts 13, when I have removed him, I raised up to him David to be my king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, a son of Jesse, man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my wills. But David took another man's wife and had that man murdered. Joab was the general, and he sent word to Joab. He said, send Uriah to the front so he'll be killed, and he was. In the time of David, if you stole a sheep, you'd have to pay with four sheep if you were caught. King David stole somebody's sheep, so he gave up. Four of his sons was killed in battle. God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. There is no escape. Number two, we reap the same kind as we sow. Whatsoever we sow, we reap, so that if we sow the good, we reap the good. If we sow the evil, we reap the evil. Job 4:8, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. People on drugs, they get a short high on cocaine, and then they get a long time to pay for it. Jacob, you remember Esau, Jacob? Esau was the firstborn of the twins, and he had the birthright, but his mother wanted Jacob to have it. Esau was a hunter, so it was about time for his father to die. He said, son, go out and kill a venison and make my favorite meat, favorite dish. Come in, and I'll bestow upon you a blessing. His mother heard that. And she told Jacob, said, quickly, go out into the herd and get a couple of goats, a couple of kids. And I'll make this, and you can receive the blessing. So she took that, and goats are browsers. They eat leaves and stuff like deer. Different meat than sheep meat that eat grass. And so a good cook, of course, could take a young goat and camouflage it with seasoning and make it taste like venison. And so she made his savory meat out of goat. She took the skins and put around his jacket and around in, because he was a smooth man and Esau was a hairy man, and took some of Esau's clothes, and you know the story. Jacob got the blessing and deceived his father. Later, the sons were feeding the sheep in the field, and their father Isaac sent Jacob to look after them and to find out what they were doing. They said, hey, here comes this dreamer, let's kill him. Reuben, being the oldest, knew he'd have to face his father, so he said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's put him in the pit. So they put him in the pit, and they took the coat of many colors, and they killed an animal and dipped it in the blood of the animal and sent it back to his dad and said, look, we found this animal. I don't know what happened to this guy, but we don't know whose coat this is. What kind of animal was it? It was a goat. It had to be a goat. Jacob deceived his father as a goat. his son deceives him with the blood of a goat. Doesn't that make your chills go down your back? I'm telling you, we reap the same kind as we sow. Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. We sow in one season, we reap in another. No harvest comes in the season. The seed is planted, but it must in God's appointed time. This is really great because we can invest now for the future. You can might buy some stocks or buy some land or plant some seed. And time is on our side. We store up for the future. We store up education. We store up money. We store up strength. We plant things in our children's lives and they grow into fruition as time goes along. Number four, we reap more than we sow. Isn't that great? No fact is more significant than sobering. When we sow in the wind, we reap the whirlwind. When we sow good, we reap bountifully. Isn't that great, though? It's good as well as bad that we reap more than we sow. A little bit of good multiplies, a little bit of bad multiplies. Romans 5:12, for as by one man sent into the world and death by sin, so death came upon all men for that all have sinned. Number five, we reap in proportion as we sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We plant little, we get little. We witness little, we get little results. Number six, we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest of his own. Number seven, we cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's. So we analyze, we think about last year, we learn our lessons, we move on. We don't mope around, we take action. Application. The laws of the harvest work effectively in summer as well as in winter. You plant the habits of discipline in your life and your youth, and it's much easier to keep up with them in your middle years and your latter years. Wasting time in the summer is the same effect as wasting time in the winter. Lowering of one's standard in the summer gets the same effect as the winter. Be especially alert when outside pressures and disciplines are removed. Some of you are reaching the place, I trust, where you're able to pay off your house. You want to be careful what you do with that money that you've been using for your house. You can use it wisely and profitably, and it's amazing how fast you can get ahead. Really, Helen and I didn't begin to get ahead significantly until our house was paid off. And it's just really beautiful to begin to be a little more secure financially with this in mind. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to sin on free time? You don't sin nearly as much between 8 and 4 or 8 and 5 as you do on the weekends or on summer or on holidays. We might ask the question, won't God just somehow overlook my mistakes? Well, the laws of cause and effect are true any way we look at it, in salvation and everything that we do. Well, we got 6 or 7 more minutes. I wonder if you've got some questions. Hold up your hands and the fellow will give you some cards and we write down your questions. We'll go from there. Any contributions? Testimonies? Confessions? Yes. When did I start implementing some of the disciplines in my life? Okay, I started in the outset when I was a child because I was most fortunate to be reared by a father who lived by principles. Now, we were both lost as a goose. I had my first beer with Dad, and I suppose my last one, come to think of it. But my father taught me basic principles when I was a child, And he taught me the trades and put me under several apprenticeships with people. So that when I became a Christian at 20 and then met the navigators the following year, why, I was wide open, because I realized that this was the way I'd make progress, is by practicing the disciplines and the principles that the fellows were sharing with me. Any other questions? Yes. Helen?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Helen has her first priority, she says, is me and the family. And she has a ministry of prayer. She learned that before I got her, by the way. And so she really does live for our ministry, my ministry. She's praying much for you fellas. She's very, very interested in what's happening here. I've called her a couple of times, and we'll call her again, and she'll want to know. And then I'll sit down with her and share with her when I get home. So she's very much interested in what's going on. I bounce things off of her constantly, so I keep her abreast. She really does know we really are together. And then she has a ministry of intercession. She also has a ministry with girls. A few times she's had a Bible study. Most of the time it's been just woman to woman. And she has met with men, woman to woman, with a lot of the wives that I've met with the fellas. So it's been a tremendous relationship. Any other questions? None of my family are Christians, and my relationships with them are very dry in general. I am concerned that when I get married and raise a family, that I'll reap the dry family relationships later. What can I do to love my family? Friend, you are very, very smart. I don't know why it is, and I'm sorry as all get out. We reap what we sow, and we just reproduce what we've been. I mean, it just seems like once the divorce starts in a family, the next generation is divorced, the next generation is divorced. I'm just as sorry as I can be, but that's the way it is. That's what the psychologists tell us, and I would have to verify that. So really get some help and stop that chain of every generation doing the same. Really stop it. Now, Jesus has to give us love for family. You see, love isn't something that you fall into. You don't fall in love. You fall into holes and ditches and off the curb and stuff. But you don't fall in love. You love whom you decide to love. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Jesus said, love your enemies. We don't fall for our enemies, you see. Love is a decision. So you have to decide to love your family and ask God to give you a love for your family. One of the ways you can do is look for good things in your family. Look for the good side. And try to see something good so you can compliment them. Not flatter them, but compliment them. So this would be one way to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good time together. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth will be acceptable in thy sight and the sight of these fellows. And Lord, I pray that the things that we've discussed that's been right might be remembered. Lord, if I've said anything or inferred anything that's incorrect, I pray that it might be as water spilt upon the ground and quickly forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.